Praise the Lord. Good to be here and worshiping together with the saints here. And we were enjoying, also we were praying for the nation. A lot of prayer requests. So it's a privilege that we are receiving to pray for the nation, pray for the people, pray for the sick people among us. Before I start today's sermon, I would like to take a moment to share a testimony about our ministry journey. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16 says, "For if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." By God's grace, we have completed 14 years in Canada. I have a beautiful wife. She is here with me. We are also blessed with two children. Our elder son, Benson, is doing the Lord's work at Meadows Church in Mississauga, Toronto. Our younger daughter, Blessy, got married last December and now she is settled in Australia. It is with a heart full of gratitude that we share an important update regarding our ministry journey. After much prayer and reflection, we have made the decision to move permanently to Hosur, Tamil Nadu, India, to obey the Lord's call to serve Him. This decision has not been made suddenly, and it comes after 3 years of prayer, preparation, and a deep sense of God's direction. In 2021, we had a privilege of going on a mission trip to India, different part of North India. Upon returning, I felt the Lord's giving me a vision to move to India for ministry, and I began to ask God where He wanted us to serve. During our visit to one of the places in Jamtara in North India, in 2021, we met a young couple who served the Lord in Hosur, that is in Tamil Nadu. They invited us to visit that place. In 2022, we were able to experience that particular place, Hosur, for the first time. So in 2023, my visit to India, I planned a mission trip, one particular place, and I was trying to contact the local worker, and he guided me. He told me that we will have a 2-day outreach in Hosur instead of my local place. That was truly God's plan. Along with that worker, we had a fruitful 2-day village outreach in that particular place called Hosur. During this visit, I was able to study the needs of the area and the ministry opportunity available there. Hosur is a small town in Tamil Nadu, India, located near the border between Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh. The people here speak Tamil, Kannada, Telugu, and Hindi. It's a multicultural because it shares 3 borders, the town. Approximately 150 villages surrounded Hosur. And the majority of the people, farmers, who cultivates vegetables and flowers. Despite their hard work, many people turn to alcohol and drugs after that long day of work, leaving many children neglected and unprotected. As a result, these children often grow up to following the destructive path of their parents. It became evident to me that village evangelism is a vital way to reach these families and children. After this outreach, I felt a strong sense of God's calling to serve in Hosur. We have prayerfully confirmed our decision. However, we were initially concerned about our daughter and we don't want to leave her behind. After much prayer, we felt God's peace and His perfect timing. We praise God for bringing a life partner for her, and now she is settled in Australia. So this is the best time. God wants us to take the decisions, and we submitting ourselves to God's call for the next chapter for our lives. God willing, we are planning to move to Hosur on September 15th, 2025. As we take this step, we ask for your prayers and support as we embark on this next chapter. We trust that God will continue to lead, provide us as we follow His call in India. Please keep us in your thoughts as we prepare for this journey. I extend my heartfelt thanks to the elders and all believers in this chapel for giving me the opportunity to share our testimony and to preach from the word. God bless you all. Today, God gave me to speak a topic that is God's will in your life. God's will in your life. Actually, I prepared a 45-minute sermon, but I don't know. I don't want to give you trouble, but I will try to finish it as soon as early. So today, hope the God's will we can find what God wants us to do, and the searching the God's will. We all have different decisions every day. Some decisions are minor and some decisions are major. Some morning decisions goes like this. What kind of coffee should I take? Should I drive through Starbucks or Tim Hortons? Some of the major decisions are, who should I marry? Should I marry or not? What career should I pursue? What ministry should I pursue? Sometimes our decisions burn out. The more stress we feel, then it is harder to make decisions. God created us with the capacity to make choices. God created us to choose right or wrong. Bible very clearly explained about the meaningful choices. But wise choices bring positive result, and foolish choices bring negative consequences. Right choices please God. Wrong choices grieve God. We are free to drive our car as we wish, but we can't avoid legal consequences. Every willful action brings a corresponding reaction. Many blame, if God is all powerful, then why God allow evil in the world? If God is all loving and He could remove the evil from the world. But what is the fact? All the evil in our world is a consequence of man's poor choice. God chooses to continue to allow people to freely choose good or evil. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 to 17 says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not be gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. When it's come to choosing to do the right thing, Paul reminds us of the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit empowerment. Victory over the constant pull of the world, the flesh, and the devil involves numerous factors. That is the Holy Spirit. Regular interaction with the word, mutual encouragement. James talked about the foolishness of making decision in life without considering God's will. James chapter 4 verse 13 to 17. I'm just avoiding reading the passage, but you can just look into that. James chapter 4 verse 13 to 17. This passage teaches us to consider God's will in every aspect of your life, because life is short. God, consider. We have to consider God every aspect of our life. Every moment. James does not condemn human planning. He condemns the arrogant attitude that fails to recognize the sovereign will of God. We are free to plan all the details like merchant in his illustration. Time, tomorrow, place, certain city, duration, a year, means trade. Goal, make a profit. The instruction is to consider and recognize God's will in your planning. That raises a very important question. How do we determine God's will? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 to 17. Be very careful that how you live, not as unwise but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul clearly explained that not understand the will of the Lord is foolishness. Jesus passionately focused on his Father's will. John chapter 4 verse 34. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Epaphras prayed that the Colossians would live in the will of God. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. The key question to address are, what is God's will and how can we know it? What is God's will? The topic of God's will is a deep study. I will try to simplify it and focus more on practical application. The key word translated will in the New Testament is primarily emotional rather than volitional. God's will is known as God's desire. God's desire cannot be altered by anyone or anything outside of himself. Scripture shows us these things very clearly. Number one, let's see God's will in creation. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. In order to carry out his will and accomplish his purpose, God created the heavens and the earth and all things in them. God's creation of heaven and the earth, the animals, the plants, and man began the fulfillment of his eternal plan to carry out his intention to have a full expression and manifestation in man in the universal. Number two, God's will in sacrifice and suffering of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10 says, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and curse him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering of sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." Judas may have betrayed him. Herod may have convicted him. False witnesses may have accused him. The chief priest and the Jews may have condemned him to death. The crowd may have cried, "Crucified him, and let his blood upon us and our own children." And the soldiers may have mocked and nailed him on the cross. But no one had power over Christ except it was God's will. God's will in salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God's will is revealed in his great love for us, as well as in the rich mercy he displayed towards us, making us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Next, God's will in suffering of Christians. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19 says, "Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Peter acknowledges that suffering is also a part of God's will. When we go through suffering, we should submit ourselves to faithful Creator, to the God who made you and forms you and loves you, who cares for you, who promises to provide you with everything you need, who is with you, who will never leave you alone. That is the promise. A faithful Creator. When you are walking through suffering, do good. Do good. Do good. Do what you know to do. When you don't know what else to do, do what God's words calls you to do. Lord, love you. Love toward him and love toward others and love even toward your enemies. That is the promise God wants from us to do. God works all things according to the counsel of his own will, with the goal of bringing him glory, honor, and power. power. When we study about Jonah, we see several direct action by God. We often refer to this as a supernatural event. These are the time that God interrupts the natural order of things. Jesus demonstrates his deity by such interruption in the natural order of things. Healing, changing water into wine, calming the storms, feeding multitude. Bible teaches two different God's will. Very clearly we can study in the Bible. God's moral will and God's sovereign will. Let us see the difference. God's moral will and God's sovereign will. God's moral will is that he has revealed in the scripture. It is what he wants and desires of people. It isn't enforced. We can choose to obey it or not. Here is an example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Here says God's will or desires that we be pure. We have a choice to obey it or not, but as with all his commands, he doesn't force us to obey. What is God's sovereign will? It's very different. It is his unrevealed, predetermined plan for everything that happens in the universe. It is known only to him, will definitely occur and only become known to us after it's happened. Let us see five ways to discern God's will for our life. Knowing God's will change your life. You will totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Knowing God's will and doing God's will is very important in the Christian steps. Bible very clearly says that those who do not will of God lives forever. Those who do the will of God lives forever. Says Lord, Lord, but not doing his will is pointless. Let's see five practical things to discern God's will. Number one, believe that God has a good will for you. It is prepared. He has a big plan for our life. It's very simple. But many believe that God has no good plan in my life. He don't bother about me. That's what some of us think sometimes. But see, John 10:10. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Grace upon grace. That is the God's provision. You have a God who saved your life. He has a special plan in your life. In the sight of God, you are a very, very special person. Material things may be different. We may not reach as we wish. But spiritually, God is sufficient for all. God is sufficient for everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The right time he provided. His power can change your life. Any weakness our God can change to perfect. God has a purpose in your life. He has a plan in your life. Anything under the sun, God has a plan. He does control everything. He loves you and protects you. Psalms 41 verse 1, 2 and 3. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them the time of troubles. The Lord protect and preserve them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of the force. The Lord sustain them on their sick bed and restore them for their bed of illness. I would like to highlight the word sick bed. Many of us have gone through this experience. What was our response to God when we were in sick bed? Were you able to taste God's peace in your hard time? Did you experience his comforting hand on you? If you keep faith and hope on the above passage, sure, God will restore you from all your difficulties. Second point, to discern God's will, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9 verse 6, so he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Jesus didn't tell anything before. He only told, you just go to the city. Paul was against Christian and he wanted to kill all Christians. But see the transformation when he submitted to the Lord. God planned a good future for him. When God chose each one of us, he also prepared a big plan for our life. We should submit to the Lord to fulfill his will in our life. Number three, renew your mind to see the God's will. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that it is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you able to renew our mind in our day-to-day lives? We should be closer to the scripture by meditating and studying. Also, we should spend more time in personal prayer. When we do these things, God will teach us the truth. That truth will renew our mind. Number four, ready to work for the Lord. Acts chapter 3 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. How did this happen? as you wait in the presence of the Lord, as you honor the Lord, as you minister to the Lord, when you are ready to do anything for the Lord, He will make you perfect. And He will fulfill all your needs. Number 5. Do what you know you should do. Philippians chapter 3 verse 15 and 16. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Many times we do not know the will of God. But this passage says that we believers are mature. We have learned the scripture very well. We know the rule and we should live. We only need to listen His voice and obey. Whatever the plan in your life, God will show you His will in your life. In your financial plan, in your marriage, in your education, anything you plan, God will guide you and show you the exact will of God. That is sure, that is the promise. God's will and plan for our life is to glorify God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 14. I'm not reading this passage. In this passage, we see a big picture of God's will, explaining that God's will through Christ is for us to experience God's unconditional love and acceptance so that we might be glorify God. We glorify God through being fully alive, having a sense of purpose, serving others. That's the big picture of God's will. But what about everyday decisions? Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." But how do you discern God's will on everyday basis? Is there a correct choice for every decision? God's plan for you has more to do with how you live your life than exactly what you should do in the each and every decisions. Many times, there are a lot of good options and God trusts you with the freedom of choice. To choose what seems best to you in your heart, God has given you knowledge, community, great people in your life, scripture to guide you. Go out and live your life. If you fail sometimes, make a U-turn and turn to God. God's plan for us is more about how we live our lives, what value we live by selecting every specific things for us. Do you live humbly, gratefully? Do you have a servant's mentality to help others? Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." If this question comes to our mind, how can I know God's will for my life? Most of us say, it's hard. very difficult to understand. It is important to understand how God reveals His will to us. Scripture teaches over and over that God's will can be known. It is clearly revealed to you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you are not able to understand, if you are being a mature Christian and if you are not understanding what God's will in your life, Scripture says you are foolish. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. We should be able to discern what the will of God is. God's will is not instant. We have a big role to understand it. How do we find it? Psalmist says that, Psalms 143 verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me to the level ground. God's will is taught. It is studied and discovered through God's word and through the life of obedience. How do we grow in our knowledge of God's will? Paul says it comes through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This means that the knowledge of God's will is not just knowing a few simple facts. Spiritual wisdom and understanding is the ability to apply biblical principles to your life. This is exclusively reserved for believers. People who half-heartedly follow Jesus cannot obtain this precious gift of spiritual wisdom and understanding. What Paul is describing is a deep through the knowledge of God's will for our lives. The only way to obtain is this through the study of God's word. As we learn more of God's word, we learn more of God's will. Do you have a knowledge of what God is doing in your life right now? Are you seeking the Lord and asking Him to reveal His will to you? Opening your heart to the God's will. In order to be obedient to God, we must first be open to hearing His voice and following His will for us. That means inviting Him into all our relationship, all our plans, and all our dreams. If you don't invite God into all areas of our lives, we will just be following our own will and not His. In order to truly allow Christ to transform our lives, we must not be afraid to let Him in constant asking His guidance. Listening well, that's the most important. Sometimes it's really hard to hear Him. But the tools that help us hear His voice better are prayer and meditating the scripture. Whatever your situation is, simply asking God to show you the way and praying for His will in your life will make things so much clearer. If you are praying about something and the situation brings you lasting peace, it's probably from God. There is a perfect will of God for our lives. And we can prove it by following him wholeheartedly. When we are confronted with a choice and are not sure what to do, we should seek God's will until he shows us what to do. Then accept it and choose to obey. Following God's will certainly involve personal sacrifice. But our temporal losses will not matter in eternity, and living to glorify God will matter. Life on earth is short, but eternal life with God is everlasting. Christians who follow Jesus' teaching will receive a crown of glory that never fades. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful time and speaking to us. We were here hearing about the wonderful meaning of God's will in our life, O Lord. O Lord, we are here for a short period of time. Lord, help us to apply thy word to our day-to-day life. Lord, help us to glorify God so that we can live according to his will in our Christian life. Give us strength and wisdom to fight against sin. When we are weak, thy grace is sufficient for us. God, protect us in every area of our life. We ask in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.